Praise the Lord, everyone. Oh, what a privilege to be here. Thank the Lord that he's here. Oh my, praise our God. It's such a joy to know the Lord in such times like this. We often remark, what do people do when they don't know Jesus? And especially as they see these things coming to pass upon the face of the earth, and oh my, I'm so glad we have the book. We know what the outcome is. We know that our Lord is coming and these things must happen before his return. But praise the Lord, it's in his hands. And praise the Lord, if we're his children, we are in his hands. Thank the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. I just want to thank everybody who helped and encouraged here. We had that emergency prayer for AI and some others too, but I know you all were so wonderful in bringing forth your prayers and sending your information and whatever all was needed. I just thank God for all that you did for this woman. I didn't hear from her today. I understand yesterday they discovered that she has pneumonia. So anyway, she's being treated with antibiotics at the moment. But anyway, just thank you, everybody. The ivermectin and all the info, I'll just thank you so much, and especially for your prayers. I know the Lord heard them. And I do want to say, Lord willing, this Friday, 6:30 p.m. Central Time, we plan to have our fifth prayer link, and I'm looking forward to all of you who can to join. Praise the Lord. Oh, we had a wonderful time of fellowship. I feel the last event, and oh, praise the Lord. I thank God that he was there. I thank God that we can pray. We can make intercession. Oh, yes, for those needs, and we can share our burdens one with another. I do thank God for such an opportunity. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer, and I know Brother Samuel just led a prayer there for the Wierma family. I heard that too, and I also heard that a woman who attends his church, only she hasn't been able to be here for a long time, her mother died, and it was very hard for her to leave these last months because her mother was up in age, very old, in the 90s, and had Alzheimer's, and she couldn't hardly leave her at all. But she did pass away. The mother did pass away. So let's pray for the Borkenhagen family. And I know the Brubaker family has had a huge loss, too, there. The husband, Gene, died, and others have been sick. It's been a real trial there. And Brother Ed, if you're on, I know that you've gone through quite a trial, but oh, thank God for how he's helped you. We're waiting to hear the rest of the story, but praise the Lord. We're going to pray for you too. Praise the Lord. And just as the Lord leads, I know Bill and Sue were here Sunday, and Bill's dad also died, and he too was up in age. And so let's bring Bill and Sue before the Lord and all the other family members. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Oh, God, thank you. You are the rock. Oh, you are the rock of ages, Lord. You are our sanctuary. Oh, that strong tower that the righteous runneth into and are safe, Lord. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord. We can bring our burdens to you. We can bring our cares to you, Lord. And we know, oh, God, that you know how to help us, Lord. Oh, God, you know how to give us strength, Lord. You know how to provide for our needs. Oh, God, you know how to turn things over, God. Oh, Lord, there is nothing too hard for you, Lord. And I just pray that you would work in a mighty way, Lord. I know there's even more requests than I just mentioned here, Lord. But, oh, God, I pray that you continue to use and touch AI, Lord. I pray, oh, God, that you completely heal her and bring her out of that hospital. Give her strength, oh, Lord, that her body be touched. Let her breathing become normal, Lord. I pray that you'd help her, Lord Jesus. I pray that you'd help Brother Ed, Lord. I pray that you'd continue to touch him and heal him, mend him, Lord. Make him every whit whole, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, I thank you for all you have helped him. And I pray that you'd continue to help him, Lord. And God, I pray that you continue to help the Brubaker family. Oh, God, that you would touch them and, oh, move in them. And, oh, those that are still sick, oh, Father, have mercy, Lord. Touch them, Lord. The son-in-law, Ted, who was so sick, I pray that you touch his body, that you would heal him, Lord. Oh, God, that you'd help Donna, that you'd help Ashley, that you'd help the other daughter, Lord, and all the grandchildren. Oh, God, you know, God, you are touched with the feelings of our infirmities, and I pray, oh, God, that you would comfort, that you'd give wisdom, that you'd give strength, Lord Jesus. And, oh, God, I pray that you'd be with Bill and Sue, Lord, that you'd help them, oh, God, through this ordeal. Help the other members of the family, Lord. Oh, Jesus, I pray that you'd give them wisdom in all these matters and that you'd be there, Lord. Oh, God, that they could sense thy presence and know that you are there with them, Lord. Oh, God, we just thank you, Lord. And, oh, God, we just pray, oh, God, for Anna Marika's brother too, Lord. Oh, God, this man with the brain tumor, Lord. Peter John, Lord, I pray that you would touch this man, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that he would sense thy great and wonderful power and strength, oh, Lord, thy touch, oh, Lord. I pray that Peter John would sense, oh, Lord, that you were there, Lord. And, oh, God, that there would be nothing between him and you, Lord. Oh, God, talk to them and help them, encourage them, Lord. And I know that you can stretch forth your hand to remove that brain tumor and to help this family. Oh, God, be there, Lord. Anna Marika's mother, oh, God, all of them, I pray that you'd give strength, Lord. And, oh, God, that you would move in a very special way, Lord. Oh, God, and I pray also for Sister Penny, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that you would touch her, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, that you'd remove the fatigue, that you'd give her strength, Lord, that your healing virtue would flow, Lord, and even tonight, Lord. Oh, God, that she would sense thy touch, Lord. And, oh, God, that she would do the work that no man can do, Lord. Oh, God, that you would touch her afresh. And, oh, Lord, strengthen her body, Lord. And, oh, God, you know exactly, precisely what the problems are. And, oh, Lord, there is nothing too hard for you. We give it to you in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Help our sister Shirley in Oklahoma, Lord. Touch her body and heal her. Help Bill too, Lord. Oh, God, you know the needs of your people, Lord. And, oh, God, all of us, Lord. Oh, God, we come before thee, Lord, knowing that you can strengthen us, knowing that you can heal us, knowing that you are with us, Lord. I pray that you talk to our hearts tonight. I pray, oh, God, that you'd use this message, oh, Lord, to help us to get to that higher ground. Oh, God, to be strengthened with thy might, oh, God, and, oh, God, to go forward, to believe you, Lord, and, oh, God, oh, yes, to make sure that our treasures are in heaven, Lord. On the other side, oh, Lord Jesus, oh, God, that our hearts would be in heaven, Lord, and that you'd help us to talk to us, Lord. You'd give us, oh, Lord, that mindset that is geared upon those things that are eternal. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you would talk to us. Help us, Lord. Use this message. Oh, God, give me the words. Oh, Lord, I know I can do nothing without you, Lord. I thank you, God, for thy strength and thy virtue, thy help, oh, Lord, thy anointing, oh, God, oh, thy goodness, thy mercy, oh, Lord, the wonderful works that you have done in our hearts. Oh, God, help us, Lord, and help all your people, Lord. I know there's many needs I didn't mention. Oh, Lord, I pray that you'd stretch forth your hand. Oh, God, to make a difference, Lord. Oh, God, to change the things that need to be changed. Oh, God, help Sister Leah's niece, Lord. Anna Jazzy, I pray that you would touch this young woman, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that you'd help her with that journey. I pray that she would seek thee, Lord. Oh, God, that you'd help her to realize that she has need of you, Lord. I pray that you tug at her heart and help her to see her need. Oh, God, in the name of the Lord Jesus, Lord. Oh, God, for we stand here in great need, Lord. Oh, God, you are our Savior, our Deliverer. Oh, God, be here to help us, Lord. Help Jane tonight, Lord. Heal her body, Lord. Touch her soul. Oh, work in her heart. In Jesus' name, I pray. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank our God. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to be turning to Scripture, and I'm going to call this message Treasures in Heaven. Treasures in Heaven. Praise the Lord. I'd like to turn to Proverbs here for a quick verse here as we begin here tonight. Oh, praise the Lord. Often it seems like the Lord gives a little scripture to feed on and, you know, bring us to the other scriptures. But here it is in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 7. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 13, verse 7. It says, "There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches." Praise the Lord. Oh my, so profound. "There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches." Oh, praise the Lord. Having read that, I'd like to turn now to the book of Revelation for a very short portion of scripture. But if we could turn to Revelation, the second chapter. Praise the Lord. And, okay. A few more pages here. Praise our God. Here we have John in the second chapter of the book of Revelation. He is addressing the church at Smyrna. And here this church of Smyrna was the one that was persecuted. And this is what God had to say, oh, by the mouth of John here. John writes, "And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive." Oh, praise the Lord Jesus speaking to John, who is penning this. And then look at verse 9. "I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan." Verse 10, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." Oh, praise the Lord. We know that second death is a lake of fire. And praise the Lord, what a wonderful promise it is here that those that overcome, and here we are, we're in this world. And the fact is, we have to overcome this world, the flesh. Oh, yes, the world, the devil, all of it has to be put down. We have to overcome. You know, that's what this is all about. We're not here because it's a bed of roses and you know, it's silky smooth. But we're here to win this battle of life. Oh, yes, to overturn the whims of the flesh, the temptations of the devil, and all that the world would cause us to think and do if we would allow it. We're here to overcome. But praise the Lord, here is this church in Smyrna. And oh, among the seven, they were the one that was quite persecuted. But God said in verse 9 that he knew their works. Of course, he knew the works of all the churches. But he also knew their tribulation. They were in tribulation. And he knew their poverty. Oh my. But then he says, "But thou art rich." Oh, praise the Lord. You know, many years ago, I know when Pastor David and I came to Beaver Dam, we did not have much money. In fact, we came here on faith. We really did. We had no money to buy a house, but somehow we just believed God was going to give us a house. And you know what? He did. God sees faith. Oh, yeah. And it was amazing how we found this house, and we were able to get it for $200 down. And oh my, there's a bit of a story behind that, but you know, God had ordained that we were going to have that house. And so, yes, He gave it to us. And praise the Lord, we had church in that house that first year, and oh my, we saw beautiful things. We saw people repent. We had a baptismal tank in the church base, or in the house basement in my own house, and we baptized people in the name of the Lord Jesus down in my basement. Yes, and yes, we prayed people through to the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. We did, and we saw miracles. Yes, a man who had epilepsy was completely healed. Amen. Oh, yes, the Lord worked in beautiful ways. But, you know, silver and gold, we just didn't have hardly any to speak of at all. And anyway, you know, I remember, you know, one of the women that joined us there at the first gave me these old drapes that I could put on my windows. I have these beautiful picture windows in my front rooms. And anyway, I did need a covering there. So it was, you know, drapes even back then were expensive. And we didn't have that kind of money to buy them at the moment. But, you know, so she gave us these drapes. And oh my, they were way too big. And I honestly didn't like them. But anyway, you know, we made them do. And, you know, we had to pin them so that they would fit and different little other things. This bit of strategy there. And I can remember just one day I was just kind of doing this lament and oh, You know, just kind of lamenting, you know, Lord, those drapes, I just don't like them, you know, and this sort of thing, and kind of, you know, just, you know, thinking, oh my Lord, it just kind of be nice to have a little more money, so, you know, maybe I could buy some drapes, you know. And, you know, just as I was thinking this lament, the Lord spoke to me. And oh, I knew it was God. I knew it was the Lord Himself. And you know what He said to me? He said, "But thou art rich." Just like He told the church at Smyrna, "But thou art rich." And you know, I began to think of that, and I realized the wonderful gift of salvation and what God had done for me and how He brought the truth to us and how we were there to share the truth and the wonderful things that the Lord had done. And praise the Lord, oh, it just changed me. I began to realize, oh man, what matters? It's not the things of this world. Oh no, that's not what brings us eternal life. They're just temporary. You know, they can disappear at the snap of the finger. You know, there's nothing, you know, that couldn't be disposed of in this world as far as material things go. But you know what? God has put something deep down inside our being. Oh, praise the Lord. If we know Jesus, if we've been born again of the water and of the Spirit, praise the Lord, we have eternal life to look forward to. And oh, we have the riches of God's Word. We have the promises of God to stand upon. And praise the Lord, we are rich. That's what it's all about. Oh, those are the true riches. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, and oh, how it is. Oh, man's thinking is often so off course. Oh, people strive for this is and that's, you know, that extra boat or that extra car. Oh, all the things, you know, all the fittings for the house and maybe a better house. And oh my, just all the things that they want to do and have at, you know, their disposal. But praise the Lord, you know, if our hearts are not rich toward God, then all of it is nothing but vanity. Absolutely vanity. You know, Solomon, who had all the riches that anyone could ever want. And oh my, he had the esteem of men, and he had wisdom and all of those things. He could have whatever he wanted because he was king, and he had that kind of power and all that kind of glory, so to speak, and yeah, those kind of riches. But you know, there came the point when he realized that all of that was nothing but vanity. Just vanity. And oh my, if you don't fear God and keep his commandments, then your living is in vain. Oh yes, then oh my, you know, no matter what you have been managed to put away in this world, these temporary things, it's all going to be nothing eventually. And it's vanity. It's vanity. Oh my, you know, we have that book of Ecclesiastes where Solomon was searching, oh my, for the answers, I believe. I like the conclusion of the matter. In Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 and 14, Solomon writes, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Oh my, yes. And as Jesus put it, you know, what would it be to our advantage if we would gain the whole world and lose our own soul? For what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Oh, yes, oh, the conclusion of the whole matter, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, because there's going to be a judgment day, right? For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. Oh, my, you know, the secrets of the heart, all the things that people keep inside that they don't think anybody else knows. Well, God knows. And God is going to bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Oh my, yes. Oh, how we need to fear God and keep his commandments. So praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, that one that calls us as individuals to come and serve him. You know, it was really something, you know, when Jesus began his ministry. And as we look at the first chapter of the book of Mark for just a little bit here, we see that one of the very first things Jesus did as he began his ministry was to call his disciples. And it tells us here in Mark, the first chapter, some of these verses here. It says in verse 14 here, I'm in Mark, the first chapter, verse 14, it reads, "Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, 'The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel.'" And then it tells us, in verse 16, "Now as he walked by the sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers," or we would usually say fishermen. "And Jesus said unto them, 'Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men.'" Praise the Lord. Oh, so there he's calling these two fishermen, Simon, whom we know as Simon Peter, and Andrew his brother. There they were, casting a net into the sea. Jesus called them, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." Verse 18 tells us, "And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him." Oh my, no hesitation. Oh, they just knew that, yes, it was in their heart. They were compelled, oh, to leave all of their livelihood behind, to forsake their nets and follow Jesus. And then it tells us in verse 19, and when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. Verse 20 tells us, and straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. Oh, praise the Lord. No hesitation there either. Oh, for James and John. Praise the Lord. When Jesus called them straightway, that means immediately, when he called them, they left their occupations. They left their livelihood, their means of making a living, and went and followed Jesus. Oh, there was something deep inside, obviously, that talked to their hearts. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the 10th chapter of the book of Mark here and read a little bit. Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 10. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to go down to verse 17 here. Praise the Lord. Verse 17 here, chapter 10 of the Gospel of Mark. And when he was gone forth into the way, and this is, of course, the he is Jesus, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Oh, the great question. Amen. Oh, the question to ponder. And here's this man, and oh, he's so desirous to know. He comes. He's running to Jesus. And you could just see him. He's running, running, running. And then when he gets there, he kneels and asks that question. Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? In verse 18, we see that Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. And that's true. There is none that you can say is good but God. But see, you know, there was more to Jesus. Oh, yes, he was the Son of God. Oh, he was God robed in flesh, come to this world to save us. And somehow here's this man that has some kind of inkling deep down inside. And even to ask this question, he had to just, oh my, he had to discern that Jesus wasn't ordinary, that he wasn't just the son of Joseph, like so many assumed. And he, you know, here is Jesus, you know, asking, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Then he went on to say, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And this young man answered in verse 20. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these have I observed from my youth. Oh, there is a man here. He was trying, yes, to keep the commandments. And oh, it was in his heart. He's obviously trying his very best to be faithful, to do the things that are right. Oh, my, to follow the Lord. Amen. As he could, as he knew to do. But Jesus sees way deep into the heart. You know, he discerns more than people do, that's for sure. It tells us in verse 21, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, oh, Jesus knew the good that this man was trying to pursue, and oh, his efforts, his heart, his desire, and even to ask that question, there had to be a lot that this man, you know, had inside. There was some depth, I feel. But Jesus knew there was something that was lacking. And so he told him, verse 21, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me." You see, I feel like the thing that was missing in this man's life is that he trusted in his riches. And oh my, here Jesus is telling him, oh yes, in order to take up your cross and follow me, you have to lay down those riches, those things. They're interfering with your relationship with God. And you know, it's not always the case. But in this man's instance, it was. It was an obstacle, and Jesus saw it. His trust was in his riches. And so, yes, this is what he lacked. Jesus was telling him that he was to go his way, and whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. And it seems to me that this man was not ready to receive that at that moment. Verse 22 tells us, "And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." Oh my, and you know what? Those possessions can be a snare. They can be a hindrance. People strive to have goods, to have riches, to have honor. But oh, so often it becomes an obstacle. And oh my, he went away grieved because he had great possessions and he was not ready to lay them down and take up his cross and follow Jesus. I mean, you know, that is in contrast to, you know, the disciples that were fishermen, that, you know, when Jesus called to them, they were able to leave their occupation and come and follow Jesus. We know that is true also of Levi, oh, who sat at the seat of customs. And, you know, when Jesus called to him, we know that Levi, who is also known to be Matthew, the writer of the Gospel of Matthew, you know, he left it all. He forsook it, and he followed Jesus. But see, in contrast to that, we see this man here in Mark, the 10th chapter, wasn't at that point where he was willing to do that. Jesus said in verse 23, "And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" And here by saying how hardly, you know, Jesus is saying how rare, how exceptional it is that one who would have riches could enter into the kingdom of God. In verse 24, it goes on to tell us, "And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God?" See, that was a problem. This man trusted in his riches. Amen. Without them, he felt like he didn't have, you know, ability or whatever, all what he needed or what he wanted, what was in his heart. Because, yeah, that's where his trust was. Jesus explained in verse 25, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And, of course, we understand that in Jerusalem, one of the gates was called the needle because it was very low and it was narrow, I believe, besides. And in order for a camel to enter in through that area, to get into the city by that means, by that gate, you had to unload the camel of all the goods on his back, and that camel had to, you know, be willing to get down on its knees in order to get through the gate. Now, that's a pretty big thing. And I suppose camels could be pretty stubborn at time and could kind of balk at all that, you know? But anyway, that's what Jesus uses in an analogy here to explain how difficult it is for them that have riches to enter into the kingdom of God. Oh, yeah, because, yeah, there's things we have to unload. Oh, and it isn't always riches. It may be other things that, you know, we have great desire for. The Lord calls us, oh, yes, to take up a cross and follow Him. And that means that there are some things that we have to give up. In order to follow Jesus, there may be some goals, some ambitions, some things deep inside that aren't going to make it into heaven if we allow them to stay within our thinking or within our realm, you know, whatever all. Oh, the Lord knows us as individuals. Yes, because taking up our cross and following Jesus, it means that we leave the world behind. It may mean that we leave loved ones behind, all family members even. It may mean that we leave an occupation behind, you know, an education behind. Only God knows what the particulars are. It may be idolatries of various natures. Maybe a religion, oh my. Maybe esteem, all the things that are in people's heart. Maybe it's a relationship. God knows, but oh my, it's going to be worth everything to follow Jesus. Oh yes, because we're talking about treasures on the other side. We're talking about treasures in heaven and what Jesus expects us to do in order to gain the heavenly treasures. So here in this 10th chapter of Mark, it tells us they that heard this saying were astonished out of measure. Oh, it was just shocking to them, in other words, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? I mean, see, I think there's a realization that, oh my, to follow Jesus, you're going to have to give up things. And oh my, it tells us in verse 27, and Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, you know, it's wonderful how the Lord called us, and helped us to see how we needed to turn our life over to the living God. How we needed to surrender our will, our emotions, our desires, our ambitions over to the Lord Jesus. And let Him be number one in our lives. Amen. That's what taking our cross is all about. Yes, making Him first to have the preeminence in our lives. Amen. And praise the Lord. I mean, it's different for all of us, the particulars. But praise the Lord, it's so worth it. And praise the Lord knows how to make it possible. Oh, sometimes He might have to deal with us a long time before we're willing to give in to that call and willing to make those sacrifices, willing to take up that cross and follow Him. But praise the Lord, oh, praise the Lord, He knows how to call us. That calling that is without repentance. Oh, praise the Lord, for with God all things are possible. And then, oh yes, as this discourse continues, we hear Peter saying to Jesus, verse 28, then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. Oh, yes, because, oh, my, there's drawbacks in this life. Oh, yes, there's obstacles. There's suffering. Oh, people aren't going to understand us. Oh, my, and sometimes, I mean, very hard things happen. I remember, and I recall talking about this maybe at another point, maybe several months ago now, but when we were just in the... I believe in our house yet, with the church and everything. I remember this young woman who had joined us, and you know, when she first came, you know, she rededicated her life to the Lord. She had been backslidden, and she married a military man and had relocated in a little town not too far from Beaver Dam, Marquezan, I believe, if I'm remembering. But anyway, you know, she found us somehow. And it was just a glorious occasion where she came and she rededicated her life to the Lord Jesus. And there was great rejoicing. Oh, my, she was so happy to have the condition of her heart made right with Almighty God. But down the road, you know, we didn't always see her real often, and you know, she explained, well, that sometimes, you know, her husband wasn't a believer and he didn't always, you know, allow her to come, or, and, you know, there were various obstacles. One day there was a knock on my door, and here was this young woman, and you know, she said, you know, I have to say goodbye. She said, you know, my husband doesn't like me anymore since I truly turned my life over to the Lord Jesus. And I'm going to leave him at this point. He wants to divorce me, and I'm going back to Texas. That's where my family is, her parents, I believe. And so anyway, it was sad. But oh my, you know, I trust that she continued to follow Jesus, because despite the hard things in this world, it's going to be so worth it. Oh, to be able to stand before the Lord and know that it is well within our being, that we've been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we've been set free from sin, and that we had taken up our cross and followed the Lord Jesus. Oh, it's going to be worth everything to hear him say, oh, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. Oh, it's going to be worth everything. But oh my, yes, there is a price that we pay. And all we know is we've got to keep on going, because no matter how hard it gets down here in this world, there's something that we're pursuing. Oh yes, it's not found in this world. You know, it's like Abraham. Oh, kept on moving and moving as the Lord led him. But, you know, he didn't really find what he really wanted to find here on earth. You know, because it tells us that 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, oh, where he was looking for a city which hath foundation, whose maker and ruler is God. Oh, praise the Lord. That's what he was looking for. That's what his goal was. That's where his heart was. And praise the Lord, that's where we want our hearts to be too. And he has to end this portion of scripture. Verse 31 tells us, but many that are first shall be last, and the last first. And I think there's comfort in that also, because, you know, as we're getting toward the end, oh my, there are some that I believe are still going to enter in to the kingdom of God. And praise the Lord, you know, who's to know? Oh yes, they that are last may be first. Oh, God sees. He knows. And oh my, that opportunity that he gives. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, that we could go forth and find those treasures that are on the other side. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'd like to go to 1 Timothy now, the 6th chapter. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise our Lord Jesus. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Okay, I'm going to read the very first portion and then take off, perhaps. And I believe you'll understand why I'm going here. Praise the Lord. It tells us here, 1 Timothy 6, verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. In the verse 3, Paul is writing to Timothy and saying, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Now this is how, you know, that person looks. It tells us in verse 4, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doubting about questions, a contentious spirit, I'd say, and strives of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, and then the fifth verse, perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. Oh, that's a terrible, terrible description. Perverse disputings, wicked disputings of men of corrupt minds. And it says destitute, void of the truth. Oh, that's horrible. It's horrible. Those, all these descriptive words are, oh boy, terrible. But, you know, then he talks about this sort, saying, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Oh, so interesting. Oh, isn't there something called the prosperity doctrine? You know, supposedly believers that believe that gain is godliness. Bye, that was back in Paul's time. Oh, and boy, you know, Paul's opinion of them was not good. Supposing that gain is godliness. And boy, it just tells us, from such withdraw thyself. That's blunt. That's to the point, isn't it? Oh my. But then he tells us in verse 6 what to strive for. He says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Oh, that's what we want to strive for. Oh, the things that really matter. Oh, that ability to be rich toward God. He goes on to say, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, that would be clothing, let us be therefore, or be therewith content. Oh, praise the Lord. We don't need a whole bunch of things in this world in order to have the esteem of God, in order to walk with God. No, you know, he's looking for a heart that's content. Godliness with contentment. And that's something to strive for. Paul wrote and said, it's great gain. Oh, yes, we want to get to that place where we're not, you know, back and forth and, you know, up and down and, you know, going this way and that way. But, no, just to that place where we're settled and, you know, we're content with what the Lord has in mind, what his will is, you know, so that godliness of being like God is great gain. You know, praise the Lord, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Praise the Lord. And then here are these warnings about they that will be rich. And just let's read how it's written here, verse 9 here. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Oh, perdition means damnation. Now, this is quite the description here. But they that will be rich, when that's your goal, that's what you're striving for, that's, you know, what your life is all about, fall into temptation and a snare. In other words, a trap. And into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Perdition, again, being damnation. Oh my, what a description here. And then he tells us in verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Oh, that's a horrible thing when that becomes our main goal, to obtain the wealth of this world, the prestige of this world, all the things that can be bought with money, you know, the love of money. Oh, a little more, a little more, a little more. Oh, that covetous spirit. And oh, it's sad. Jesus used it, in the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew, when he talked about the four grounds, and he talked about how the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches could choke the word in the heart of one who had initially come to the Lord Jesus. Oh yes, this was the seed that fell among the thorns. Oh yes, and oh, it has happened. We're talking about a trap here. Oh, the love of money. And yes, he calls it the root of all evil, which while some coveted after. Oh, see, they wanted it more than anything else. They have erred from the faith. Oh my. We don't ever want to fall into that trap and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Oh my, the heartaches, all the problems that come forth because of that love of money in an individual's heart when it becomes foremost in an individual. Oh, it's terrible. And here in verse 11, Paul writes to Timothy and says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, praise the Lord, the fruit of the Spirit, in other words. And then verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. Oh, yes, there's a fight. Oh, that we want to pursue. That is that gain of eternal life, those treasures in heaven. And here, yes, Timothy is being admonished. Fight that good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Oh, there's nothing worth our soul. Oh, there's nothing worth, that would take away those treasures that are reserved for us in heaven. And so, yes, there's this admonishment here. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. It says in verse 13, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that goal. One day our Savior is going to come. Oh, he's going to come. And you know, with the sound of a great trumpet. Oh, a great shout. Oh, my, you know. And he's going to break through the skies. Oh, yes. And everything will be different at that point. Oh, yes. Because the heavens are going to pass away with great noise. And the elements are going to melt with fervent heat. And the earth and all that is therein is going to be burnt up. Oh, so how we need to look to the things that are eternal. Everything in this earth can be taken away. It can be disposed of. It can rust. It can decay. It can rot. It can be taken away. You know, a thief can come and steal it. But oh my, there's something on the other side. Oh, there's some treasures on the other side. Oh, they're not going to decay. They're not going to rot. They're not going to be taken away. There's no thief that can steal those treasures. And oh my, if we could just make it through this world, we could just keep on fighting that good fight of faith. We could just lay hold on eternal life. Oh, and keep going, keep going, keep going. Oh, praise the Lord. We know, yes, there are treasures in heaven for the child of God. Oh, yes, and we're looking forward. Oh, we're so much closer now unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Oh, the only God. Oh, the only ruler. Praise the Lord. The only King of kings and Lord of lords. Oh, yes. Who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Oh, the great God and the great King. Oh, praise the Lord, the only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Oh, praise the Lord. That's what we're going to look. Oh, that's what we're striving for. We're going to see him one of these days. We're going to have to stand before him and how we want our hearts to be right with him. Oh, yes, because, oh, there is great reward for those that are faithful. Oh, who keep walking by faith and serving the Lord. So Paul continues here a few verses yet. Verse 17 tells us, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Praise the Lord, all the good things that the Lord has for his people. Oh, praise the Lord, for we know where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. And then he says in verse 18, that they do good, that they be rich in good works. See, that's where we want our riches. Oh, that heart towards God, that heart that helps other people. Oh, rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Oh, praise the Lord. See, that's what it's all about. Oh, yes, we're striving for the mastery. Oh, to overcome the world, the flesh, the devil, to make it through this world. And oh my, you know, riches can get in the way. So yeah, there's a warning here. You know, if the Lord has blessed you with such, don't allow it, oh, to be an idol in your life. Oh, don't be high-minded. Oh, yes, somebody that, you know, thinks they're extra special because of their wealth and their gains and their advantages. And, yeah, riches can talk in this world. Oh, yeah, it's some of those rich men out there who, you know, are trying to sort of, seems like they're kind of trying to control the world. Oh, my, but, no, nothing to do with that. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Oh, praise the Lord. Isn't that our heartbeat? Oh, isn't that what we're striving for? Oh, you know, we are told in 1 John, the second chapter, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's the bottom line, isn't it? The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. Oh, it's all going to perish. Oh, it's all going to be consumed. It's all going to be burnt up, every bit of it. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's what we're striving for. Amen. Praise the Lord. One more place here tonight, I believe, before we close this study. You can go to Luke, the 12th chapter with me. Luke chapter 12. Looking at verse 13 to begin here. Verse 13 here, Luke chapter 12. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And here, you know, it seemed like a, you know, logical thing, you know, it wasn't divided equally, and you know, my brother took all of it, or whatever the case was. And, you know, Lord, could you just speak with him and, you know, make him to be fair? But what did Jesus say? Verse 14, Jesus said, And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And then he's going to tell a parable. He said in verse 15, And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Oh, you get it? Oh, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And then it tells us, verse 16, And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Oh, yes, and besides, and I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Now, that's looking at the carnal. Oh, yeah, that's, you know, thinking, oh, yes, just those things of the world. And yeah, just live it up. Do what you want to do. Eat, drink, and be merry. Oh, you know, forget about, you know, working so hard and striving, you know, to make ends meet. No, you got it. You did it. You know, they built greater barns. You got plenty. But what did God say? But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? And so it is. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Oh my, if we could just understand. This world's going to pass away. We're not here to just, you know, try to gain all the worldly advantages that we can, all the goods, all the riches, all the things, all the prestige, you know. If that's why we're here, it's going to end up in a disaster. Because then you're just laying up treasure for yourself. And you're not rich toward God. Oh my, the things that really matter, the spiritual things. Oh yes, what we can do one for another. Oh, the things that we can hold to, the precious word of God. Those times in prayer where we're beseeching the Lord, interceding on behalf of those that need God's help, trying to help one another with their burdens, with their cares, other trials, you know, trying, oh yes, to help our fellow man, visiting the sick, those in prison, oh, you know, taking food to someone who doesn't have any, maybe making a garment for someone who has none. Oh, yeah, these are the things that make us rich toward God and living the life. Oh, yes, putting God first, taking up that cross and following Him. Oh, yes, we want to be rich toward God. He went on to tell us here, and He said unto His disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment, or clothing, garments, in other words, which were very expensive back in that time. Jesus said in verse 24, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? Can you make yourself taller, you know, just wishing it away or trying to, you know, buy some height? Oh, I don't think so. It says in verse 26, if you then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? All the fuss and worry about all these things that the Lord knows about and knows how to take care of. He says in verse 27, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O ye of little faith? Oh, the Lord knows those things that we have need of before we even ask. And He knows how to provide for us. He's our Heavenly Father. And as our earthly Father provides for His family, our Heavenly Father knows how to provide for His children. Oh, praise the Lord. And He tells us in verse 29, and seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. Yeah, that's the carnal way to go about it. That's what everybody else that doesn't know the Lord Jesus is trying to do, you know, get this, get that, buy this, you know, get that, you know, education so they can go forth and get a better job and, you know, oh boy, live better than the rest. They only can. Oh my, the striving for material things. But Jesus said in verse 31, but rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Praise the Lord. Putting the Lord Jesus first. Rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, the spiritual things. Those are the things that matter. And there's a promise here. If you do that, if you put the Lord first, if you seek the kingdom of God, seek the kingdom of God, His righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you, the things that we have need of. Oh, yes, we just do the will of God, the rest will fall into place, He's telling us. Then He says in verse 32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Praise the Lord, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, how we are admonished. As it tells us in Matthew, the 6th chapter, just paraphrased a little bit differently, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, Jesus said, what will it advantage a man? Oh, if he should gain the whole world, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What can a man give in exchange for his soul? Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, the need to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, to seek the Lord first, his kingdom, knowing that he has promised that all these things shall be added unto us. Praise the Lord. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fret. Our Heavenly Father knows how to take care of us, even in these end days. Praise the Lord. He has a plan and he has a purpose and he has a way to do it. If we can put our trust, our faith in him and seek those treasures that are in heaven. Praise the Lord. That's what it's all about. Oh, yes. Not the treasures of earth, but treasures in heaven. Praise the Lord, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh God, we ask that you would talk to our hearts and tug at us. Help us, oh Lord, to see and understand. Help us to put you first. And oh God, as we're seeing all these things coming to pass on the face of this earth, oh God, help us to get ready. Help us to be ready. Help us to seek you above all else. And oh God, help us to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset. Oh Lord, and oh God, to put you above all else. Oh God, to seek you while we may yet seek you. Oh yes, to have those treasures in heaven, Lord. That first love for you, Lord. Your ways, your word. Oh, your holiness. Oh God. Oh yes, what you have put within us as your children. Thank you, Lord. Help us, talk to us, tug at our hearts. Make us ready, God. Oh Lord, that we might please thee and have treasures in heaven. Praise the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise our God. Thank the Lord. He's good. He's faithful. Oh, praise the Lord. And that's what we are to strive for. Treasures in heaven. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Tug at our hearts. Talk to our souls, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to turn our course books to number 159 and sing Seek Ye First. 159.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth. righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.